I still read Dennis a minute ago. And Dennis had a word to say about Mr. Wilson while Dennis was talking to the good Lord. I think might
be applicable today. He reminded the good Lord that when Mr. Wilson talked about him, he was prone to exaggerate. And some people talking about my poor health tend to exaggerate. The trouble about getting as old as I am, you don't have anything to compare it to, so you never know where you are. So I usually just say, I'm doing fine. I used to say, I'm doing pretty good. I told Harry a while ago, I ran into a smart mouth that asked me had I looked in the mirror lately. So I can't use that anymore, but let me express my gratitude and appreciation to Brother Edgar and you, the congregation, for allowing me to be a part of this homecoming, because truly I am at home. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time together, what our hearts have experienced already, our ears have heard, and we've enjoyed. And now we ask that you, through the blessed Holy Spirit and your word, will speak a word of instruction, a word of comfort, a word that will make this homecoming day complete. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On about the 13th of October in 1950, Pastor H.L. Sampson stood and did my father's funeral. And for his text, he used a verse from 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. And it had nothing to do about home or homecoming or dying or heaven. Because at that time, the concept of heaven among religious people was far below what it is today. Really, the passage talks about, well, it was a historical narrative of a man of God from Judah being called up to Bethel in Israel to speak a word against the sins of Jeroboam, the most wicked king, of whom it is said in the Bible, he made Israel to sin. And the man of God spoke boldly, and Jeroboam didn't like it. And he commanded, he stuck his hand out and commanded that the man of God be taken prisoner. And immediately his hand was stricken with leprosy. And he changed his mind about the man being in prison. He asked him to pray for him that he would again have the use of his hand. And the man of God prayed and the leprosy was healed. And the 7th verse of that 13th chapter of 1 Kings speaks and verbalizes the Christian hope of what happens to us in death. It speaks more clearly and completely of our hope than any other verse in the Bible, and yet it had nothing to do at that time about the subject. But that day, Brother Sampson used these words of Jeroboam to the man of God, for he said, come home with me and refresh yourself. And I will give you a reward. And Brother Sampson's application of that verse that day brought comfort to me. And yet there is a far more comforting verse that comes from the lips of Jesus. On the way to Gethsemane somewhere, trying to instruct and comfort his disciples about his coming death, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Literally, keep on believing in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one of the disciples, and I thank God for him, said, "We don't not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." It's from these verses that I want to speak to you this day on this homecoming, just briefly, about life in the Father's house. I treasure memories of my home, although the house was very poorly constructed, uncomfortable to live in, but it was home. It was a place where love abounded and fellowship with the family was enjoyed. And life in the Father's house, when Jesus takes us there, is going to be life in a loving relationship and a sweet fellowship. It will be a relationship that is without hindrance of any kind with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that fellowship will be sweet and enjoyable. There will be peace there. There will be nothing to hinder us in our worship. Today, our fellowship with the Lord is often hindered because of sin that has entered our life, unconfessed sin, unrepented of sin. And so it breaks not the relationship, because once we enter in to faith in Jesus Christ, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven, and we are freed from the penalty of sin, but we still dwell in the presence of sin, and sin in our own life breaks the fellowship between us and our loving God. But life in the Father's house will be a relationship of love and honor and peace and joy. And our fellowship will be complete. Jesus prayed that we might have that kind of thing. So life in the Father's house is going to be a life spent, a lifetime, an eternity, in a loving relationship and sweet fellowship with our God and our Heavenly Father. And I look forward to that. I'm enjoying life here. I'm in those bonus days. I'm in those days that David talked about when he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm enjoying that. And yet there is a longing in my heart today for even more. I long to see Jesus face to face. And I long for fellowship with dear ones that have gone on before, and that'll be there forever. But life in the Father's house is more than just life in a loving relationship and sweet fellowship. It will be life in a livable environment. Today, sin has so messed up our society, you're afraid to breathe the air because all kinds of boogers are hidden in the air. You read today that you might eat this food and it'll be good for you, and only to read tomorrow that it'll kill you. Our environment is such that I've made a study over these nearly 85 years, and I believe it'll stand up against scientific investigation. Living is dangerous to your health and will cause death if you live long enough, because that's the kind of environment we live in. But in heaven, all sin will be removed. All disease will be gone. There'll be no tears in our eyes. There'll be no sickness or death, because we will live for eternity. And eternity is forever and forever and forever and forever. It'll be in a very livable, lovely, spiritual environment. I long for that. I tell you what, I turn the television on and what I hear just burns my ears and breaks my heart. And it's being used not only by the celebs that think try to entertain us, and they try to get down to some guttural level to do so, and that shames me that they could think that I'm that low in life. But in heaven, there will be none of that. Just a livable environment. But equally important, and remember, it will be a loving relationship and a sweet fellowship. Remember, it will be forever in a livable environment. No sin, nothing to hindrance, and no disease, no crying or anything. But it will be a lasting future. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have," say it with me, "everlasting life." Folks, everlasting means just what it says. And I'll remind you, if you're one of those that somebody's hoodwinked and said you can be saved today and you can lose it tomorrow, not so. Everlasting is everlasting. It can't have any gaps in it. Just the language of the New Testament tells you that we're saved. If we are saved, we're saved now, and we'll be saved forever. Oh, I know the objections to that. If I believe that, I'd get saved and I'd do whatever I wanted to do. I do. But God, when he saved me, has changed my want to's a lot. And I'm still a work in progress. He's still working on it day by day. And I praise God for it. But you see, forever is forever. We have the hope that we will dwell in, we will be at home with our Father forever and ever and ever. That's a part of Jesus' prayer in that great 16th chapter of John. He prayed not only for the apostles that were with him that day, but he said, "I pray not only for them, but for all them that will believe because of their word." And that's me, folks. That's me and that's you. He prayed for us, and he prayed that where I am, I want them to be also. I want them to have that same kind of fellowship. Listen, we have a lasting future. You get on God's honor roll in heaven, and you're there forever and ever and ever, and no man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. Lasting future. But just this word of warning. You must choose to go there. There's more said about that other place in the Bible than it is about that place. And you're just going to one of them. You can't go to one and come back and go to the other. Once you enter in, it's forever and ever and ever. And there's so much misunderstanding today about how we get in to eternal life. People will tell you it really doesn't make any difference in whom you believe or what you believe, just as long as you're sincere. You can be sincere and sincerely lost. Without Jesus, let me emphasize, without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are lost. For the Bible says in the 3rd chapter of John that those that believe are not, and the language is, or ever will be condemned. But those that believe not are condemned already because they do not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify the meaning of this word believe, because I'm convinced that if I'd walk through Leesville today and ask 100 people, "Do you believe in Jesus?" at least 99 would say yes. But what they say is, and what they're saying, I believe about Jesus. But to believe in Jesus is to believe into that relationship where you make him Lord of your life, boss, owner, King of kings, and Lord of lords. You have to believe to the point that you commit your life to him completely as Lord. And there's no other way, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the only one. Which way are you headed today? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where's your home going to be and what's it going to be like? Heaven? Yes. If you've trusted in Jesus, or if you will trust in him today, can turn from your sin, believe into that loving lordship relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I invite you to do that today. Because today may be the last day you'll ever have to do it. I can't guarantee that. I know this, that God is just long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should have everlasting life. If you're here today, it's because of the goodness of God, and the goodness of God was for the purpose of leading you to repentance. And so you have this day. You have this moment. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never confessed him openly, publicly, the Bible says if you're ashamed to do that, he'll be ashamed to confess you before the Father which is in heaven. You need to give your life to the Lord today. You need to make public confession. You need to begin your journey as a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I think I stand comfortably today to say in behalf of the pastor in this church, you're welcome to come. The Lord wants you to come. The last picture we have in Revelation is one standing saying, the bride says come, the church says come, the Lord says come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Seal that destiny in heaven. Oh, the older I get, Miss Hazel, I'm still fighting. I'm not growing old gracefully. I'm fighting it every step of the way. We have that covenant, and I'm doing that. But listen, the older I get, the more I enjoy the words of Peter when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fade not away, reserved in heaven for those of us who are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. That's my hope. What's yours? Have you placed your hope in Jesus? If not, why not now? And if your hope is in Jesus, John, in one of his little letters, talks about us not being ashamed at his coming. If there are things in your life right now, and the way you're treating the Lord, the way you're serving him, the way you're worshiping him, or the lack thereof, if it would shame you if Jesus would suddenly say, Gabriel, blow, and the Lord would come, would you rejoice at his coming, or would you be ashamed? If there are those things that are not right with him, today at the altar, not between you and me, not between you and Edgar, but between you and the Lord, you settle that today. And if you're here and you're a child of God, and you do not have a church home, spiritually, you're like I am physically. You see, I can't go home again on this earth. the church, the body of Christ. God intended. He does everything with purpose, loving purpose. He has the church for your spiritual family and the church as your spiritual home on this earth. On this earth, you can begin living in that loving relationship and that sweet fellowship. On this earth, in this body, you can begin to live in a livable environment. You can have God's shroud around you to protect you from all the world throws at you. And you can enjoy the peace of knowing that you have a lasting future. Father, your Holy Spirit today has spoken through your word. And I pray that today, lost people will come home to Jesus. Saved people will renew that sweet fellowship. And people wandering without a church home will come to be a part of the body of Christ that meets at this place on Cooper Church Road called Cooper Baptist Church. I ask it in Jesus' name. And as the pastor waits to receive you and as we stand and sing, will you come to trust Jesus? Oh, please don't put it off. Don't wait. You may not have another time. As I said, I can't tell you you won't. Because I have to be truthful. I don't know. But I can tell you this and stomp my foot and say it on the Word of God. You'll never have a better time than right now. So settle the matter while we stand.